Welcome to Holistic Trauma Healing, a podcast that empowers you to heal trauma in the same way it has affected you as a whole person. I am Lindsay Lockett, your host. I have discovered a profound path to healing trauma that allows us to move out of the role of victim and into the role of empowered and conscious creator of our best possible reality. I offer hope, healing insights, and practical tips as you get to the root of how trauma has affected every part of your existence and how to weave a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I have an awesome episode in store for you today. This is kind of a part two to episode 92 because we are talking about emotional freedom technique or EFT tapping, and it's with the same guest, Teresa Lear Levine. But we are going to focus specifically in this episode on EFT for ADHD. And I get a lot of requests for content on ADHD and the nervous system and the brain. And to be honest, I don't know that much about ADHD, and I suspect that I have ADHD. And Teresa and I talk about that in this episode. Like, what does that look like? And do you even need to be diagnosed? And so this was a really eye-opening episode for me as well. And obviously, like, I don't need the label or the diagnosis if my particular pattern or the way that life shows up for me is in alignment with the patterns and life experiences of someone who has ADHD. Fine. Not that big of a deal. It doesn't seem to hamper my life in any major ways, which I know is not the case for some people with ADHD. So, yeah, before I shoot myself in the foot there, I probably better stop, because I also know that ADHD can be a really fiery, controversial topic. I've seen people who say that ADHD is like their superpower, and that why would they ever want to try to fix the ADHD, and that it's ableist to suggest otherwise. I've also seen people who are like totally medicating for ADHD because it really does impair the quality of their life and their functioning, and they want to try to help themselves. And of course, there's people who exist on the spectrum, every point in between. So the conversation is not about whether ADHD is a superpower and a sign of neurodivergence or a handicap or a disability. That's not the conversation at all. The conversation is having ADHD can impact people's lives in really real ways. And some people don't want to take medication. Some people want a tool or tools they can use alongside medication. Some people only want medication and they don't want to have to think about it anymore. Whatever you decide is fine. But today, Teresa and I are going to be sharing the lens of emotional freedom technique for ADHD. And for those of you who may be skeptical at this point, just know that Teresa believes that ADHD is her own superpower. So we're not knocking anyone with ADHD. In other news, before we dive into this episode, I just want to let you know that we have been doing some really big restructuring in our business lately in an effort to be able to help and serve more people. And so we've made two really big moves in the last couple of weeks that are going to enable more people to access some of the work that I do that you usually would have to have a big wait before you could access, or you'd have to be on a wait list. So the first thing that we have done is we have made my foundational groundbreaking workshop, Nervous System 101, available for purchase anytime. You no longer have to wait for me to announce that I am teaching Nervous System 101 live and then get your ticket and then come or get the replay. You can now purchase the class anytime, anywhere, and watch it anytime, anywhere. So you can go to lindsaylockett.com/NSYS101. I'll link to that in the show notes below. For 24-hour a day access to Nervous System 101. This is a class that I highly recommend you take if you are new to the world of the nervous system, whether you are just a normal person who is trying to learn about the nervous system for yourself or for a family member, or if you are a practitioner of some sort, a coach, a therapist. whether you realize it or not, if you are working as a coach or a therapist, you are working with people's nervous systems. And I have had so many practitioners tell me that the information I teach in Nervous System 101 was not taught to them at like high level graduate school. And so now that as a practitioner with a master's degree or a doctorate even, they're signing up for my Nervous System 101 workshop because there truly isn't another workshop like it that's providing this sort of information for people. So first order of business or first big thing that we've changed in our business is that Nervous System 101, the workshop, is now available anytime. You can buy it anytime. I will still teach it live. And if you want to wait for the live to come, I would highly recommend that you wait because the energy of the live is so fun. And there's also Q&A at the end. So that's something that's not included in the Nervous System 101 product that you can buy anytime. We did not include the Q&A from past workshops. And the reason why is because when someone comes to one of my live workshops and they participate in the Q&A, they are always, always sharing something that is deeply personal and vulnerable. And it just doesn't feel right to me to record someone's deep, personal, vulnerable share and then resell it later. That just doesn't feel good to me. So we've taken the teaching portion of the workshop and we've cut off the Q&A, and that's what we're selling. It's $77. I'll put a link below in the show notes if you want to check out that workshop. For those of you who've wondered why I don't include the Q&A, that's why. I'm trying to honor people's privacy. The second change that we've made in our business is also to make nervous system healing more available to more people, and that is my group program, Nervous System Hygiene, is also available to purchase anytime. In the past, the way that you had to get into Nervous System Hygiene was to first attend Nervous System 101, and then after the live workshop, you could sign up for the group program. So it was kind of part of the funnel of the Nervous System 101 workshop for people who wanted to dive deeper into nervous system work and learn how to create a daily nervous system hygiene practice for themselves. I like to use oral hygiene as my comparison for nervous system hygiene. So we brush and floss our teeth every day because we want to take care of our teeth, because we want our teeth to last our whole lives. And so we practice oral hygiene. It's a daily care thing that we do. It's just habitual, right? You don't have to relearn how to brush your teeth every time you brush your teeth because you've been doing it for so long. The pathways in your brain automatically know how to brush your teeth. The same is true for nervous system hygiene. We have to take care of our nervous systems on a daily basis. The reason why most of us are in the shape that we're in when it comes to trauma, feeling burned out, feeling overwhelmed, lots of anxiety, lots of depression, is because we haven't known that we needed to take care of our nervous systems every single day and have nervous system hygiene the same way we have oral hygiene. So I created Nervous System Hygiene, a 4-week group program to teach you different nervous system hygiene practices and then how to put them together to create kind of a routine for yourself that you can learn, and it can become habitual, just like the way you brush your teeth is habitual and you don't have to relearn it every time because you learned it once. So that's what nervous system hygiene is. I still recommend that you watch the Nervous System 101 workshop and then take the action step of joining Nervous System Hygiene. But by making both of these things available to you all the time, I'm giving you more agency over what information you want to consume. And I am able to make it more available to more people because now anyone can buy either of these programs at any time versus waiting for them to be opened up. So you can find more information and join Nervous System Hygiene at lindsaylockett.com/NSH. I will put a link below in the show notes so that you don't have to remember that URL. And the reason why I'm making this announcement now is because this Thursday, March 2nd, we are going to be starting off 4 consecutive weeks of group coaching calls for nervous system hygiene. So if you have been a nervous system hygiene student in the past, you are always welcome to come to the group calls anytime I offer them. If you have never joined Nervous System Hygiene, but you want to and you want to get in and be able to jump right into 4 back-to-back group calls, then now is your chance. The program is open and you can join anytime. Even if you join on Thursday and the first thing you do is show up to the group call, you are completely allowed to do that. So Links for Nervous System 101 and Nervous System Hygiene are going to be in the show notes below. And now, without further ado, please sit back, relax, and enjoy this yummy chat with my friend and my EFT coach, Teresa Lear Levine, on using EFT for ADHD. Hi, Teresa. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just dive right in here. In our last episode, we just kind of had a basic conversation about what EFT is and what it's used for and how people can do it and all that. And you have kind of a little specialty niche, or at least that's how I perceive it, that you like to talk about EFT with ADHD. So I am curious if we could just have a conversation about ADHD in general, and then EFT tapping for ADHD. And as I was sharing with you before I hit the record button, I am hesitant on this episode because I have noticed, especially on Instagram, there seems to be this massive split in the way that people think about ADHD. And it's so the kind of the camp that I find myself in is that ADHD can make it really difficult for people to function in their lives, make it difficult for them to focus or concentrate. And that it could be a sign of nervous system dysregulation and brain inflammation. And so why wouldn't we want to try to help the brain and the body, you know, kind of get those messages of safety and things not be quite so hyperactive and, you know, crazy in our heads. And then there's this other camp that's like, ADHD is neurodivergent trait and people with ADHD are awesome. And why would you want to call it a problem? That's ableist and like all this kind of stuff. And so I hope I don't get canceled as a result of this podcast, because I'm not trying to put a label on it one way or the other. I'm mostly just looking forward to having a curious conversation about it. And then also what your perspectives of using EFT to help people with ADHD, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds awesome. Okay. And as long as I don't get distracted, I'm happy to have the conversation.
Yeah. So I think our whole family probably has ADHD. Our son is the only one with an actual formal diagnosis of ADHD. And he's 18 now. He's moved out. And so he's just decided, like, I don't want to do anything about this, even though there's certain parts about having ADHD that make me really forgetful and make me get distracted. And I have to be reminded about things all the time. He's still just like, nope, I'm fine with everything the way it is. Me, I'm like, I want to like regulate my nervous system more and like practice meditation more and stuff like that to sort of get everything in my brain to calm down. Because I do find having some of those ADHD symptoms to be distracting. and also just like, you know, like inconvenient for some of the work that I want to do and the creativity I have and stuff like that. So, I guess I'm curious, would you just like to share your experience of ADHD and sort of like what it looks like for you and how you see the world? If it does color your experience of the world and just like what it's like for you.
Sure. So I was undiagnosed until I was 42. I'm 44 now. Hasn't been that long, but it was definitely there all along. So I was hyperactive physically as a kid, really kind of, I could really get kind of like driven by a motor kind of, I guess is how you'd put it. And I did fine in school. In fact, I got great grades in school and I graduated from, you know, high school early, started college early. I was always very interested in learning. But it wasn't easy for me to like focus on homework and things like that. It was really lucky that I was intelligent, because I think if I had not been, it would have been really hard for me to advance in the way that I did, because I had to get kind of crafty about the way that I accomplished things. And it didn't really catch up to me until I was an adult. Not until I had, you know, four children and all the extra distraction on top of everything else, that it was like, this is a lot. And I just really have no idea how to finish things anymore. I just keep starting things and they're not getting finished. And I'm feeling overwhelmed. And it was kind of when I first started noticing anxiety in my life and insomnia and a lot of other things that can really go hand in hand. Because, you know, when you have ADHD, a lot of times you can end up with anxiety as a result of it or hand in hand with it. It's, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, but you end up worrying about the symptoms and about the overwhelm or about the disorganization or whatever else. Whereas anxiety disorder on its own is its own, you know, its own thing. But sometimes we can just have anxiety related to the ADHD, which when I look at my anxiety, I think is what it was mainly. And that kind of high functioning anxiety, that overachiever driven to succeed at whatever price kind of anxiety.
Same.
So yeah. So I do a lot of work with high functioning anxiety and ADHD because they're what I know. And being an EFT master practitioner, understanding how to apply them to those things has been really helpful. So once I was able to kind of regulate myself around that and realize how much differently I could show up as a result of this really simple technique being used, I was hooked. And that's something that I work really closely with a lot of my clients on is those kind of challenges. But as far as what you were saying before about, you know, two different camps about looking at it different ways or what have you, I think ADHD shows up differently for a lot of people. I am of the mindset that for me, it is more often a superpower because it drives my creativity and I love the energy that I have. I am an unstoppable brainstormer. And, you know, just, I always have great ideas and I find that it helps me in a lot of ways, but then there's the, gosh, I'd really love to get this project done and I just can't get myself into the right brain space to do it. So I'm lucky that I work for myself and that I also work from home. That's actually, that's double-edged when you have ADHD, but, or for anybody really, I think, but I've been able to understand myself better. EFT has been really helpful with that, with developing my intuition and understanding myself so that I know if I go to sit down and work on that project that I want to get done and I'm not feeling it, I might just need to move that time block to a different part of the day and go take a walk, do the dishes, hang out with my kids, like whatever it is that feels more in alignment at that time and come back to it. But we don't always have that luxury. So having EFT also for those times when maybe I am not ready for a meeting that I have or whatever else in the mental sense, I can get myself there. So I think having the right coping mechanisms really helps. But I also think that ADHD people, like I was reading this magazine the other day that had this list in it of all of these, I think I put it over here somewhere. There were things that were listed in this list, these coping mechanisms for ADHD. And all I could think was, if ADHD brains could do these things easily, we wouldn't need these steps. Like they're not like, oh, here we go. So one of them was exercise daily. I do that, but it really took me like an effort to get into that groove because procrastination and motivation issues tend to go hand in hand with ADHD. So therefore I can use EFT tapping to get myself there. And another one was accepting yourself and your limitations. Well, that takes work that a lot of times is not also easy for the ADHD brain to approach in a gentle way. A lot of times people with ADHD brains are kind of hard on themselves and kind of critical. And there's a lot of, you know, limiting beliefs and self-doubt and self-worth issues and things. So if it was that easy to just, oh, okay, well, I'll just accept myself and my limitations now. I've got that, you know, taken care of. It's just not that easy. Some other ones that were on the list, let's see, create systems for prioritizing your day, create deadlines for projects, break down all tasks into steps, provide your own structure. That one. I was like, you know, thanks for the tips, but like, this is why we have ADHD. These things are not easy for us.
Yeah. It sounds like someone who doesn't understand ADHD made that list for people with ADHD.
Pretty much. But I was like, okay, but I have been able to find ways to do all of those things by regulating my nervous system and my emotions using tapping. So there is hope, I guess, is the
okay. Sure. So for you and your experience of having ADHD, do you feel like
it is rooted in some nervous system dysregulation. Because what I'm hearing you say is anxiety often goes hand in hand with ADHD, whether it's like anxiety on its own and you have ADHD, or you have anxiety about having ADHD, insomnia, perhaps the sort of like scatterbrained, you know, distractibility of all of it. Like, to me, as you're describing that, I'm like, that sounds like sympathetic nervous system activation. Like, it sounds like sort of a fight flight, you know, maybe even dipping down into the freeze, you know, that combined state of like shutdown and sympathetic activation. If we're talking about polyvagal theory, where you feel like you have the gas and the brakes going at the same time, you know, that's a really, really hard state to be in. So for you, like, do you feel like it is rooted in some kind of nervous system dysregulation and or brain inflammation possibly, or like, does it feel like it's its own thing that exists and you don't really need it to have a root cause, or like, what is your approach to that?
I agree with you. And I mean, everything's connected. That's just life and energy, and everything is connected. And emotional dysregulation is one of the core symptoms of ADHD. And nervous system regulation is a really great way to work on ADHD. Therefore, it would seem that there was dysregulation if the regulation of it makes things so much better.
Right.
But, you know, and emotional dysregulation is probably one of the symptoms that most people would say is the hardest for them to manage when it comes to ADHD. And that just, I mean, people with ADHD tend to feel emotions so much more intensely than people without the condition. And so there's brain chemistry to that. And, you know, like, let's just say, I don't know, you're working and you have ADHD and you could be working in an office, you'd be working at home, and you're like carrying a stack of papers that you have organized for something that you're working on to another room, and you drop the papers and they go all over the place. The ADHD brain often wants to just like throw a tantrum right then and there and just lose it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Or maybe you're running late, which tends to be an ADHD trait also, and you can't find your keys. And all of a sudden you're like screaming at nobody in particular, or you're just kind of losing it. And that can also just be like ways that the emotional dysregulation shows up. And the result is that you have these like blown out of proportion, extremely emotional reactions to things that are otherwise like minor setbacks, minor challenges. And there's a reason for that, because the amygdala, which, you know, is there for the fight or flight stuff and everything, it handles the emotional reaction and the decision making. So when we act out and we experience like rage or anger or worry, the amygdala relays that message to the cerebral cortex. And then in a normal, like, I don't want to say normal brain, a non-ADHD brain, the undesirable emotional response would be inhibited, so that you'd be able to pause, think things through, take a breath before you act and do something. But that doesn't happen very well in the ADHD brain. It's a really weak connection. So because of that, our reactions can seem really extreme, and it can be hard to calm down. Like, once we get going, we're kind of like committed to it. And that can be perceived as being insensitive or immature or unconscious or unaware of others. And that can also affect the way that we feel about ourselves. And, you know, being able to regulate those emotions both on the spot, which is something that you can really easily do with EFT tapping, or in a more deep and lasting way when you have the time to really get into, hey, why is this happening? What's really going on underneath of it all? Kind of the like Band-Aid application versus like a deep wound clean out. Both of those are super valuable, like not just for focus, but for a person's self-respect and their self-control and their relationships, their jobs, their responsibilities, like all of those things, because the EFT tapping can shift the perspective and it can change the way that you show up, which is often exactly what somebody with ADHD needs.
Okay. So whenever you talked about losing your keys, not being able to find your keys, I was like nodding big yes, because that is something like, I feel like at this point in my life, I have a really regulated nervous system. Like, I feel like I can be with my emotions and not react to them most of the time. I feel like I do have some perspective on things of like not blowing them out of proportion. But one of the things that my husband and I consistently argue about the most is the fact that I'm like, I need you to leave the keys in the car because I just need them to be in the car when I get in the car. And he wants to bring the keys inside the house. And so then when the keys are inside the house and I don't know the keys are inside the house, I think they're in the car. I go to get in the car. The keys aren't in the car. And then I'm literally like fuming mad, like fuming. And it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I have the conscious awareness to know that like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that difficult to get out of the car, come back in the house and get the keys. But that is something that I have a pretty disproportionate response to. So it's really interesting that you use that example.
Have you ever thought about getting a second key made?
We have one of those, it's not even a key for the car. Okay. It's the fob, you know, and those things yep. are like $350. So okay. It's like not high on the spending priority list.
Yeah, I can feel that. But yeah, losing keys is such a common ADHD thing. Have my place for keys too. Like there's a hook that
is like losing your phone. Is that another thing? Like leaving your phone in the most, like I'll go, yes. I'm like looking all over my house for my phone and yeah. I will find it like on the edge of the bathtub. Like
I'm an Apple girl and I have an Apple same. Watch. So yeah. So do you use the feature to call your phone?
Oh no, I don't have an Apple Watch. Sorry. I okay. just have well, an
that's,
iPhone.
That's the workaround there, but it also costs about as much as the key fob. But you know, you just swipe up, there's a little thing, it makes your phone ring no matter, because my phone is always on do not disturb. It's always same. On silent. That's like one of my ADHD hacks. It's like, I don't need the disruptions. I can answer things when I want to, whatever, nothing's a rush. And so I pretty much only have my ringer or my sounds on like 5% of the day, maybe.
Yeah, I never have them on
so,
ever.
It's not like I can be like, hey, call my phone so I can find it. So that's my watch saves me multiple times a day.
Yeah, I literally never have my phone like the sound on. And I also found that by turning off notifications, meaning I only get the little red circle with the numbers, you know, that like lets you know you have a notification, even if your phone right. didn't ding or vibrate. I only have that set up on Voxer so that I know when I have messages from my clients and Slack so that I know when I have messages from my clients. I don't even have it turned on with my text messages because if I have those red numbers, like all over my phone, if it's on my text message and my Signal and my Voxer and my Slack and my email and my missed calls and all of that, if I have all these red circles with numbers, it's like, I can't put my phone down until all those red circles are gone.
Are you the same way? I totally relate and I have a similar setup. So I, yep.
Okay. Am I like, I said, I've never been formally diagnosed, but am I like describing an ADHD brain to you?
It does seem to align. Again, not a doctor, not one to diagnose, but sure. I don't really think the diagnosis matters a whole lot, honestly. But again, that also depends on how things are coming up for you. Like, am I any better or worse off for having been diagnosed? Yeah, maybe. It gave me an opportunity to experiment with medications and see what I liked or didn't like about them. And it gave me an opportunity to get to know myself better. It also surprisingly, it kind of made me feel less good about it after a little bit. I don't know exactly why. I kind of explore that a little bit, but it's like, okay, now that I have the diagnosis, now I'm like looking at all of the negative side of it instead of just embracing the parts that I always liked. I'm like, I don't have to do that now. I didn't used to do it, but yeah, there's the diagnosis and there I am kind of picking it apart a little bit more, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So, okay. You brought up medication. I'm really glad you did that. We talk about medication a lot yeah. on this podcast because psych meds are they're a whole thing. So you said you gave you an opportunity to experiment with medication and see what that was like. Can you share your experience and like what that was like for you and where you kind of ended up at now?
Yeah, sure. So I was actually pretty excited to be able to, you know, try Adderall, try Ritalin, that kind of stuff, and be able to see what it would do. So, and, you know, after I had an appointment or two with my doctor, we decided to give it a go. And the first few times that I used it, it was really magical. I was like, whoa, but also kind of like being on speed. So it was a little bizarre, but I was like, this is like, I felt really focused. And it was like, you know, I could look at the list of things I wanted to do for the day or whatever. And it was like, bing, bang, boom, like they were happening. And I was like, man, this is pretty amazing. But then I noticed after a few weeks, a couple months, I don't remember exactly how long it was, that I was a lot moodier and a lot more irritable. And I did not like that. And I could feel like when it was wearing off or when it was kicking in. I didn't like that either. At first I did, but then like the novelty of it, I think, wore off pretty quickly for me. And I was interested in finding more natural alternatives. So I've used a bunch of the nootropic supplements. There's a few different brands out there that I really like. And those are things that I can like use when I want them or need them, kind of geared towards getting my brain to react differently, depending on whether I need like motivation or whether I need some deep focus or whatever. And I try to, you know, supplement and try to eat well and do things that support my brain. And other than that, because my schedule is pretty flexible, I try to do things when they feel like they're downstream and not like they're a struggle, just like we should with anything in life. That's how all the good things come to us, when we're not fighting for them, but we're just allowing them.
Yeah. So whenever you said that you had this like novelty period with the medication where it was like you're super focused and you were able to get so much done and you felt like a million bucks. To me, because I just did a podcast episode 89, about how nervous systems heal in slowness. And when I hear you saying that, like, yeah, I took this medication and for a little bit there, I was super productive and like got all this stuff done. And, you know, that to me sounds like it's like a way, I don't know, it's almost like it's still highlighting like productivity as the goal. And that almost seems counterintuitive to like what the nervous system needs to heal, which is that slowness and that spaciousness and serenity and all of that. So, and then it did sound like the medication over time caused you more dysregulation than regulation. Do you feel that way?
It did feel that way. And that's part of the reason why I kind of was like, okay, that's it. I'm not doing that one anymore.
Yeah.
You know, would I revisit it at a later time? Maybe, maybe not. I'm glad I tried it.
Yeah.
I can definitely say that. I'm not, you know, I don't have any regrets there. And I think, you know, having, you know, kids that have ADHD too, you know, we've had different trials of medications with them too. Some of them have responded amazingly well to it and it definitely helps them. And some of them, it doesn't work for them at all and it makes things worse. So everybody's different there, but for me, there wasn't any harm in trying it out and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. So my best friend and I have been having conversations actually about ADHD because we both, my best friend and I both, like in high school, middle school, high school, college, like super smart, super able to study and like spend long periods of time writing papers. And, you know, we made good grades and graduated high in our classes and all of that. And then we had kids and we both feel like the older we get, the worse it's getting, which is kind of interesting because I'm like, my nervous system is more regulated now than it's ever been in my life. But I still have these difficulties with procrastination, with feeling overwhelmed by having a bunch of things on my list, with being overscheduled in my calendar. Like all of these things sometimes still feel overwhelming. And we were talking about that this summer of like, you know, is there something quote unquote wrong with us? Or is it that the demands of our society are like so high that those of us with these neurodivergent brains, like we're like the square peg trying to fit into the round hole. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you're saying. And I don't think that it necessarily gets worse with age, but I do think that there's just a lot more demands on us. And, you know, like in my case, like the multiplying children and businesses, it's just kind of like at some point you just kind of can't keep up. Or, you know, sometimes with ADHD, we have trouble with boundaries or people pleasing or those kind of things that also stretch us and stretch us even further. And then the overwhelm and everything else are worse. So, and we're also typically more conscious as we get older. So we notice it more than we might have when we were younger.
That's true.
So, you know, but yeah. You know, we should also be able to be a little bit more, I think should, we can be more capable of being more accepting of ourselves also, and, you know, recognizing ourselves as the eternal beings that we are and all those good things as we get older also. So hopefully, you know, it all kind of balances out a little bit.
Yeah. So can you share how you feel like ADHD is more of a superpower than I don't even know what the right word is to use. Cause again, I don't want to be called not a handicap, not a obstacle. I guess obstacle would be the right word. How is it a superpower for you, more and less of an obstacle?
So for me, I just feel like, you know, like I said before, like being an unstoppable brainstormer, like when I am thinking about something, I can come up with all sorts of ideas, just endless creativity. I tend to be more energetic than like 99% of people that I know. And just, I have a ton of energy. I wake up in the morning, 4:30 a.m. I'm like out of bed, ready to go, get Holy me into shit. My day, love my life. And, you know, that I think that's my ADHD more than anything else. Just, I have a lot of energy and creative. I think that sometimes because of the impulsiveness, it's not always necessarily impulsiveness. It's like courage, you know, and resiliency. There's a lot of ways that I think that it's a superpower.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how do you use EFT to support yourself with ADHD?
Ooh, there's like endless ways to do that. And they're fun. So, you know, first of all, I think it's important to understand why it's so awesome for ADHD, because a lot of times like fidgeting and stuff is part of ADHD. And with tapping, you're literally like, you're fidgeting, you're tapping, you know, different parts of your body and you're talking at the same time. It's kind of like, you know, multitasking and doing all these things. And it just really goes well with the way that we like to move and figure things out. And I think that's part of the reason I was like unknowingly attracted to the practice, because the ADHD brain, it thrives off of working efficiently and seeing results quickly, which a few rounds of tapping can provide. So you get that instant gratification and you get the emotional, you know, regulation, and you can really hone in on the overthinking and the anxiety and get focused and everything else. So, you know, I've been tapping for a while now, and it's not only good for like just the focusing and everything else, but there's a lot of other things that tend to come up with ADHD, like procrastination and motivation that I mentioned before, as well as imposter syndrome and self-worth issues, those boundaries that I brought up also, and limiting beliefs and such. And so you can use EFT for all of those things too. And it's also really common when you're tapping. I'm pretty sure you've experienced this when you've tapped, to have like random thoughts, like things that just don't even seem connected totally to like what you're tapping on. Yeah. And you're just kind of like, but you just let them come up. And so the ADHD brain's familiar with that happening, but when you're tapping, it seems easier to sort through them and to address them as if you already know the answers, which of course we already do, but sometimes we lack the feeling of empowerment and capability, which is also brought in through the regulation that you get with tapping. And you really can get focused very well with it, which is almost ironic, because oftentimes a side effect of tapping is that you feel sleepy, you yawn, maybe you cry a little bit, or you get zoned out, which might not seem optimal if you're trying to get focused, but those things signify the release of suppressed emotions. And that can lead to an energy boost, an inner calm, which can be very well channeled into focus. So you're also, you know, bringing all levels, those stress hormones, you're taking care of that overactive nervous system, and you're getting this like calm and clarity, as well as a feeling that things aren't as bad as maybe you thought they were while you're doing it. So all of that allows you to focus better and also to develop your intuition and your clarity around your approach of dealing with ADHD. So like I mentioned, I tried the medications, but as I was trying them, I did tap a lot on whether or not I thought it was, you know, good, bad, indifferent, that kind of thing. And then I was able to lean into getting off of the medications, trying different supplements, releasing stigma around things. All of those things are really helpful when you're trying different approaches to managing your ADHD, medication or otherwise. And it can also really be helpful. You know, a lot of women with ADHD don't realize how much like anxiety and worry and fear have taken up their life, like how much of their life it has taken up. So when you tap and you regulate the nervous system, all those situations that maybe used to leave you feeling mentally and physical, physically drained and would like throw off your entire nervous system. Like you don't realize like a little comment, a little action can like kind of send you into this like high alert kind of a thing that most people would be able to deal with it. And so instead of being burnt out and overwhelmed, they're able to regulate that and just have, you know, more room in that stress bucket to, you know, have capacity for the things of their life. And so that allows you to like let off the pressure, restore a little balance, see things differently. And so then you get to get present because it really does bring you present very well, which can also be difficult when you have ADHD because your mind's in all different places and thinking about all different things. But not only do you get present, but you get to enjoy more energy and good feelings while you are. And that's super valuable and not something that most people think about, I don't think. So, and you'll notice it, you know, if you're getting into the habit of tapping and you're having all these good feelings and you're really getting balanced and then you don't tap for, you know, a few days or whatever, then you may notice like you're feeling a little more frazzled or you're more reactive, less patient, that kind of thing. But it's also why it's a great technique because it's so easy to do. Like there's so few excuses for like being too busy because you can do it while you're doing other things. You can tap in the shower. You can tap when you're walking. You can be stuck in traffic and doing some tapping. You can, you know, you can incorporate it into so many different areas of your day that it doesn't have to be something that doesn't get done. Doesn't mean that we don't have days that we do it, but I'm just saying, you know, it's easy to get in there if you want to do it.
So what is your greatest challenge, if you could name one thing about having ADHD that is still a challenge for you? And then could you give us some examples of things that you would say while tapping to work through that?
So probably the biggest challenge I have is when something changes with my day or my schedule and I have to like rearrange everything, like sick kid home or whatever, which I just, all four of my kids went to school today for like the first time in a week.
It's been like congratulations.
A revolving door of, thank you. It's been like a revolving door of sickness and all sorts of other weird stuff around here. And, you know, you kind of think your day is going to go one way and then it doesn't. And then you don't feel productive or I start kind of, even though I know that I want to speak to the gratitude that I have for being a work from home mom and the blessings of everything being right here and being able to shift on a dime to pick people up or take care of them or put a Band-Aid on or whatever else. Sometimes it's like, oh, I just really wanted that day to do what I wanted to do. Ugh. And trying to release that and to reorganize my brain about how to put the tasks or the items that aren't going to get done back into my calendar. And that kind of stuff can be really challenging. So the first thing I would do is just kind of tap on, you know, even though things aren't going how I thought they would, I choose to see myself with love and acceptance, something like that to set up around. And I would also ask myself questions like, I wonder why I'm feeling that way. Like, did something particularly trigger me? Was it just the kids being home? Or what exactly is going on in my head? Kind of asking questions to my subconscious. And I would allow myself to have the feelings as I tap. It's very important to allow those feelings to come up and out. And then, you know, I would probably move into, if I knew what it was that I was having a problem with, I would tap directly on that. You know, it's very important with tapping. I think I addressed this in the other episode. I hope so. But to really speak genuinely and authentically to whatever the negative feelings that you are having are. And then if you're capable to kind of bring it back around. So maybe like in the round of tapping, it would be, you know, even though this isn't how I wanted my day to go, I want to see myself with love and acceptance. And I would be initially tapping on like, oh God, I wish the kids went to school and nothing's going my way. And I really hate that I have to reschedule, you know, 5 appointments. And what are people going to think of me? And they're going to think that I'm so disorganized or whatever the feelings are that are super negative that I'm having. By the end, I might be able to turn it around to some of those things I mentioned before. Like, I'm so grateful that I have this. This is the reason why I work from home. This is the entire why of what I do, why I do what I do, and everything else. This is just part of the journey. This is part of the plan. Everything is right where it should be. I am safe. I am so happy that I'm able to be here and do this, and I'm ready to get on with my day, that kind of stuff, if I genuinely felt it.
Right. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of my biggest struggles, I'm curious how I could use EFT with this, since I have been working with you for a couple months now, and we've done some really great tapping things. And I admit that I kind of wonder now if this isn't my ADHD brain, because we've tapped a lot on perfectionism, and I feel like ADHD and perfectionism kind of go hand in hand a little bit. And I noticed that I will avoid tapping, or I will procrastinate even the tapping in the same way that I procrastinate other things in my life or my business, where it's like, the reason why I have a fear of getting started is because, one, I want to be able to like sit down, complete it from start to finish, even if it's a big thing. Like, I just want to be able in one go, I want to be able to do that. Or I want to be able to shut myself up in my office for a week and just work on something. And if I can't do that, then I'm like, well, I don't even want to start it then, because I don't want to like start it. I don't want to start it and then come back to it and leave it and then come back to it. So that's one of the things that I struggle with. And then the other thing that I struggle with, it is that sort of, I think it's a facet of imposter syndrome. I'm not sure, but I think it's a facet of it where it's like, if I don't figure out the best way to communicate this, and if I don't break this down in the right ways, and if I don't make this super digestible for people and all of that, like, then I don't start because I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to do that yet. You know, even though 100% of the time, even if I don't know what it's going to look like at the end, if I just start it and go through the process, I'm totally happy with what comes out on the other side. But that feels like it takes so much discipline and energy and working with myself and with my nervous system to like get through that process. And it's honestly something that hasn't gotten easier, even though I would consider myself at this point to be like pretty advanced in my capabilities to regulate my own nervous system, even around stuff like that. So right. I'm curious, what are some things that for people listening and for me that could be helpful to tap on whenever we're dealing with that procrastination, knowing that we're not going to have immediate gratification, that there's going to be a process to go through, having trouble getting started because you don't know what it's going to look like in the end, like those types of things.
Yeah. Man, we can really trick ourselves into playing small, can't we? We love to think that the fake stuff is real and the real stuff is fake. And
thanks, all that coach. Stuff
in between. I do it too. So I'm not, there was no judgment. I wasn't casting that on you or anything.
I just feel seen.
So resistance is a real thing. And we could, you know, go live on the moon by ourselves and we would still encounter resistance. It's about us. It's not about everybody else. And the good thing with EFT is that you can't do it wrong. There's no wrong way to do EFT. So perfectionist's best friend there. And I would, if you're having trouble getting started, I would address the resistance. And, you know, address that you don't even want to do it. And that's so common. Like, you are not alone there. And in fact, most of my clients say that at one point or another, especially when they're up against something where they know that like a big breakthrough is coming.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, I didn't really do any tapping between my last session and this one. I'm like, okay, like, just let's pick it up now. Like, that's all right. But I would, you know, tap on, even though I don't really want to do this, I'm resistant. I don't know what's coming, but I'm resisting it. I want to move forward and accept myself anyway. And, you know, this resistance, that kind of thing as you're tapping through the points. And that'll lead you to another round. Something will come up. Those random thoughts, those distant or disconnected thoughts will come up while you're doing that. And you'll have something else to tap on. And just kind of surrounding yourself in that love, acceptance, and forgiveness as you do it, that, you know, you're the only person. I mean, if you're hanging out in your office or whatever, you're alone, the door's closed, nobody's going to see you do it imperfectly.
Yeah.
There's no imperfect way to do it. And like you said, you know, you feel better. So you can kind of even like work that in. I know I'm going to feel so much better when I'm done this. I just need to get started. And getting started is so hard right now because I feel all this resistance because I want to do it perfectly, or I want to be able to work on everything that's bothering me in this one session while I'm sitting here. And I know that I'd be up here for the rest of my life if I did that. So, you know, I am just going to choose to pick a few things that are bothering me and know that it's a few things more than I would have worked on otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I mean, I always tell people, because part of the process with learning EFT is making a like a personal peace procedure list, like 100 things that you would want to work on. And people are like, oh, that's a lot. Once you start writing down things, it comes really fast.
Yeah.
And 100 things doesn't even take up a third of the year if you were to tap on one of them.
Right. One a day. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
And even if you could only come up with 15 or 20, if you started tapping on those, they would lead you to the rest of the 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, easy. And then imagine like 365 things that were once blocked, then unblocked with just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of getting through that resistance and getting it done every day.
Yeah. That's powerful to think about whenever you put it that way.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share about ADHD tapping and ADHD and tapping?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what we haven't talked about.
I don't even know what I don't know. So what have we not talked about?
Yeah. I mean, just if you haven't tried it before, definitely try it. It's definitely very aligned with the ADHD brain, and there's no shortage of ideas of things that you can tap on. And if you're one of these people who has been unlucky enough to read these lists of coping mechanisms and are feeling defeated by them, please know that this is a great way to work through them. If you actually want to be better at prioritizing or time management or what have you, you can tap and unblock a lot of those things and make things better. And hopefully every person out there that's listening that has ADHD can find some way to see it as a superpower. Sure, there's challenges, there's downsides, whatever, but all of that's also just part of the journey. It's part of what was meant for you here in this human experience. And it's okay. It's just, it's good. Every change, everything that we experience can be seen as a good thing if we're willing to just either let it ride or find it. So, yeah.
All right. Well, can you tell people how they can find you and work with you if they'd like to? And I just want to plug really fast that I have been working with you for a couple months and plan to keep going for a few more months. And it's been an eye-opening experience. And I am now feeling even more motivated to reach for tapping whenever, I don't want to use the word should, but like there are times over the last few weeks that I know I really should tap right now. And it's not like a good girl, I'm shooting on myself. It's like, yeah. I really should try this for this. And I still come up to that resistance with it. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's ADHD or if it's fear or if it's imposter syndrome or if it's perfectionism. Like, I really don't know. And as I'm saying that, I'm like, I should be tapping on, I don't know if my resistance is fear. I don't know if my resistance is procrastination. I don't know. Like, I'm realizing now I should actually probably do a tapping round after we get off of this podcast.
You could do tapping. You could also do muscle testing.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Both of those would be good ways to hone in on what it might be. But thank you so much for those kind words. I appreciate it. Absolutely love working with you.
Thanks.
And, you know, don't be hard on yourself if you haven't done it, because it's not too late to do it.
Right.
If there's something that you thought, hey, a few weeks ago, I should have tapped on that, then you can do it today. Or maybe there's no need to tap on it anymore.
Sure.
You know? And part of the beauty of EFT is that you get to sometimes knock multiple things out by tapping on one thing. So if people want to find me and find more, I suggest my website, just teresalearlevine.com. Hopefully you can put that in the show notes. My Teresa with an H. So sometimes it can be a little hard to get the spelling right, but you will find links to my podcast and all of my socials, ways to get in contact with me, and anything that you might need, you can find directly from the website. And awesome. I always appreciate hearing from people or having people reach out or ask questions or whatever, and I'll be happy to respond.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about EFT and ADHD.
It was a pleasure, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.